It's The Current's Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today is Thursday, August 30th. I'm Jay Gabler.
And this is Jade, bringing you some music news to help you furnish your living quarters a little later on.
I'll have a story about why an early 90s El Paso, Texas punk band called Foss are suddenly huge national news. But before that, a few more of today's music headlines. The Orwells have broken up as a band. They've announced their breakup after three members of the band were accused of sexual abuse. These allegations surfaced on Reddit. Recently, the band issued a statement saying that they acknowledged some callow altercations, but they said the sexual abuse allegations were unfounded. Nonetheless, the band just tweeted very simply, "The Orwells have disbanded." And the Gaslight Anthem have responded to reports of sexual assault and harassment among members of their audience. The band didn't share specific details about who was involved, when it happened, but they say in a series of tweets they're working with venue staff and law authorities to address the alleged incidents. They say, quote, "From the very beginning of this band, we have strived to create a positive and safe environment for our fans, and this kind of abhorrent behavior cannot and will not be tolerated at our shows."
You know, this has been something that's been coming up more and more frequently. Either artists on stage seeing something in the audience that they deem as inappropriate and stopping the show to kind of call it out, or at actual festivals saying, we want to create a safe space. So it's kind of nice to see bands sort of jumping on this as well and saying, all right, we don't want our audience to do things that are inappropriate. Let's create a safe atmosphere where we can all just listen to music.
Yeah, and getting ahead of this, so if and when these reports become public, the band have made very clear, here's where we stand. We're working to do whatever we can do to address the situation and make sure that doesn't happen again in the future. There's another chapter in the Kanye West story. Kanye gave an interview on Wednesday to a Chicago radio station, and he apologized for remarks earlier this year calling slavery, quote, "a choice." He also belatedly responded to a question from Jimmy Kimmel about why Kanye believes that Donald Trump cares about African Americans. Kanye in the recent interview said, quote, "He wants to be the greatest president, and he knows he can't be the greatest president without the acceptance of the black community. So it's something he's going to work towards, and we're going to have to speak to him," end quote. Kanye has been in a series of controversies over various remarks he's made in interviews and social media since reemerging into the public this year after a self-imposed exile while he took care of some mental health issues. And he's opened up about his struggles in his new album, Ye, on songs like I Thought About Killing You.
Just say it out loud to see how it feels. People say, don't say this, don't say that. Just say it out loud.
So, Jay, if you could have the style of any musician take over and design your home, who would you want? Whose aesthetic would you create in your own living quarters?
Stevie Nicks.
Yes. Ooh, I love how witchy you are, Jay. Well, unfortunately, as of now, no Stevie Nicks. But DJ Khaled has his own furniture line. So if you are into the very bombastic DJ, he has a new line called We the Best Home Furniture Line. It's coming out in Miami, which seems appropriate because it is very ostentatious. And this furniture line, Jay, I'm talking about gold statues of lions. There is an actual throne as part of this. It's just so baroque and over the top. And I'm a minimalist, so this is never going to go in my home. But I do appreciate when he was talking about the throne saying, hey, everyone is the king or queen of their own home. So why not have a throne so you can actually feel that way when you walk into your home?
Exactly. And I actually overheard our coworker, Sean McPherson, talking about this story and about DJ Khaled. And so I asked him to hop in the studio and talk a little bit about why he appreciates DJ Khaled's style.
DJ Khaled is a lot of things that are good in general, in the sense that he's a positive DJ and he brings people together. I have a special relationship with DJ Khaled because I'm a big person, he's a big person, and there's not a lot of us in the limelight. He's doing something for people my size. The world is not designed for somebody Khaled size or my size. So when I saw that he had a furniture line, my immediate thought was, he's the type of person who's not going to make a good-looking chair that wouldn't be comfortable for him. It seems like a lot of his brand is about regalness and it's about flashiness, and he's probably making chairs I can't afford, but he's making chairs I would feel comfortable in. And that means a lot to me, and probably means a lot to other folks in the same sort of weight range that we are both in.
So what do you make of the images that have popped up so far of this furniture line?
These are really indulgent. I have a, 16-month daughter, and she would make quick work of a lot of these fancy couches that I can see here. But on the other hand, it's his brand. I don't expect to look to Khaled to see some sort of IKEA knockoff. The man is about living your best life. And honestly, if I get my dough up, I might get some of these chairs.
Sounds like a no-brainer. DJ Khaled. He's the god of the crowd, baby. It's a no-brainer. So Foss, this punk band from El Paso, Texas, in the early 90s. You can't really get their music. It's basically out of print. To the extent that music fans have known about or talked about Foss in the past 20, 30 years, it's been because Cedric Bixler Zavala was a member of the band, and he went on to front the Mars Volta and At the Drive-In.
And I will say, I have an entire 90s show, and I've never stumbled across Foss before. So I'm excited. I love my 90s music. So besides this, why are we talking about them?
Because another member of Foss is a guy named Beto O'Rourke, who is now a U.S. representative from Texas.
Yes.
And he is the Democratic nominee for the Senate seat currently occupied by Ted Cruz. So his musical past has been out there. It's not a secret. It hasn't really been a big news item until on Tuesday. The official Twitter account of the Texas Republican Party tweeted a photo of Foss, the band, with the caption, "Maybe Beto can't debate Ted Cruz because he already had plans." So this is involving a dispute going on over terms of debate between the two candidates. They're kind of sparring over what the terms of proposed debates would be. So the GOP is trying to get O'Rourke to agree to terms and apparently trying to embarrass him by sharing a photo of Foss.
By sharing a photo of you being in a cool band?
Well, that's the question. It's like, are there, to the extent there are swing voters left anymore in the United States, are there swing voters who will look at the fact that someone used to be in a punk band and say, oh, doesn't get my vote? That may be the case, but at least the Democratic base seems to be loving this strategy. And they've spent a lot of the last couple of days tweeting about how awesome it is that O'Rourke used to be in a band, how good looking he is, how much this rules. And then pointedly, of course, comparing his youth with the youth of his opponent, Ted Cruz, who, well, was not in a punk band. So it's been hard to find Foss's music, but now that it's so much in the news, actually, O'Rourke sent one of their songs to Rolling Stones. We can hear just a little bit of it. This is a song by Foss called Rise, with Beto O'Rourke on bass. So our viral clip today is sort of a viral clip from the pre-viral era, from the pre-social media era, but something that would have certainly set the internet on fire if the internet was really a thing when this happened.
Yes, as a small child, when the internet was not here, I used to sing this ad nauseum and annoy my parents to such an intense degree, Jay. In fact, it's always in my head every time I meet a woman named Lisa.
Because the song is Happy Birthday, Lisa, and it's a song from a 1991 episode of The Simpsons called Stark Raving Dad. You might not recognize that episode title, but if you're a Simpsons fan at all, you've almost certainly seen this episode because this was the Michael Jackson guest appearance episode.
Yeah, and what's so weird is apparently people didn't know that it was Michael Jackson. I felt like in the world that I lived in as a small child, that it was just known that it was Michael Jackson guest appearance.
And it kind of was, and it wasn't. So this all came out yesterday. Matt Groening, creator of The Simpsons, gave an interview to The Week because it was the 60th anniversary of Michael Jackson's birth, what would have been his 60th birthday. And Matt Groening says, yep, we really did have him. It was actually Michael Jackson, and he reached out to the Simpsons team saying, I love the show, I love Bart, can I be on the show? And they were like, yes, absolutely, yes, let's do this. And the episode itself is really charming. So there's this character who's a white guy who is sort of under the delusion that he's Michael Jackson, and he kind of befriends Bart, and they end up writing this sweet song celebrating Lisa's birthday.
Lisa, it's your birthday. God bless you.
And so it turns out Michael Jackson did provide the character's speaking voice, and he wrote the song Happy Birthday, Lisa. But that's not actually Michael Jackson. Ironic that we're talking about this in a week when there's already a story about is it or is it not Michael Jackson singing.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson's singing voice in the episode is provided by an impersonator.
What?
That had to be the case for contractual reasons. Apparently, Michael Jackson couldn't sing on a TV show due to his record company contract or something. So apparently, this impersonator came in and Michael Jackson himself watched this guy singing his part.
That's the most stress I can imagine.
Matt Groening said, when it came time to sing the songs, he had a sound-alike singer. He stood there, Michael Jackson stood there and watched the guy who was so nervous, he had to sound like Michael Jackson, and then he giggled.
Lisa, it's your birthday.
That just blew my mind a little bit. I thought it was Michael Jackson the entire time.
I think it is a little ambiguous in the credits to the show, right? It leaves it a little unclear. Maybe Michael Jackson's actual name isn't even on the credits.
No, it's not. Yeah. So it was all kind of a mystery. But my small inner child brain has just been blown to smithereens.
Lisa,
and that's today's music news. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade.
Our producer is Luke Taylor. Thanks to Sean McPherson for being our guest today. You can read more about all these stories and hear some more of this music at thecurrent.org. We'll be back tomorrow with more music news headlines and a roundup of this week's new releases.
Yeah. Oh, this is the best present I ever got. Thank you, Bart. Thank you, Michael.
Well, my work is done here.